This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. The life of an artist. It is not known for steady paychecks and robust 401ks. For a lot of artists, in fact, the struggle is real. And bare necessities are included in that, like healthcare. They've always needed healthcare. They will always need healthcare. And that was especially the case for the Chicago dance community back in the 1990s, which is when an annual performance and fundraiser was born called Dance for Life.
Dance for Life started in 1992, and it was originally a fundraiser for the AIDS Foundation of Chicago.
This is Michael Anderson. He helped create the organization that puts on Dance for Life, which is now called the Chicago Dance Health Fund.
Dance for Life spawned out of dancers in the community saying, we want to do something. Our friends and our colleagues are dying of AIDS. And what can we do to help?
So they started a fundraiser. It eventually became a healthcare fund. And today, the Chicago Dance Health Fund provides financial relief for the critical medical needs of anybody working in Chicago's dance community. Dance for Life itself is basically an annual showcase of a bunch of local dance companies. This year's lineup includes a few you may have heard of: the Joffrey Ballet, the Ensemble Español Spanish Dance Theater, and the Trinity Irish Dance Company, among others. It's one night only, coming up on Saturday, August 10th at the Auditorium Theater downtown. So today, I'm going to talk to Michael, who used to be a dancer himself and who's now the vice president of the board of directors at the Chicago Dance Health Fund, and also with Jonathan Jojo Allsbury.
All the berries.
Yes.
All
yes.
The berries.
He's a dancer, choreographer, and educator. He's been dancing with Dance for Life events for over 20 years. And this year, he's making his world premiere as the choreographer for the 2024 finale. We're going to talk about building community around dance and why the creative process is just as important, if not more so, than the final dance the audience sees. But Jojo is going to start off by introducing us to his predecessor, the man who's been choreographing this finale for many years, and somebody whose work you may recognize, Randy Duncan.
Randy Duncan is a world-renowned choreographer. Most people would know him immediately by him choreographing the famous film Save the Last Dance. Okay. He was one of the choreographers there along with
Fatima. Then, we all know Save the Last Dance.
We all know that, right? But Randy is an incredible choreographer. The humanity that is in his work, the collective community, he's really able to work with any kind of dancer and build a work that really reaches and touches the soul of anyone who's watching, no matter what the background is or their experience with dance. And I'm actually from Central Illinois, Normal, Illinois.
Okay.
Illinois State University Realness. And I moved here to Chicago to go to Chicago Academy for the Arts, where Randy Duncan at the time was a teacher there teaching jazz and modern. So when I went to high school there, of course, Randy had been choreographing the finale for years, and he would bring me in on weekends to research movement and build material for what he was creating. And then after I had graduated, then he actually brought me in to be a part of the finale, which was such an incredible experience, dancing with these professional dancers who I had looked up to for many years, coming, driving up to Chicago to see the different companies perform. And while I'm there in school, watching them and dancing alongside them there. So it was so inspiring for me to see that black man from that lens in high school growing up and carrying that with me and keeping that connection through all of these years. He's an incredible, incredible human being.
and a really fitting choreographer for Dance for Life, which is to be inspiring and to be celebratory. Mm. He was the natural pick for doing that finale for this event.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Jojo, you've mentioned you're from Normal. You grew up coming to Chicago. Your mama was a dancer. I mean, you're continuing the legacy in the dancing family. Tell me about your mom. Tell me about watching her dance and what you loved about her performance and process.
Watching my mom dance growing up was incredibly informative and to this day influential and a keystone to how I navigate my life and my career. Mm-hmm. It was never about her. It was always about the nurturing of her community, to a fault almost even, to just lift the people around her up and putting herself last in that sense, which was really beautiful and something that I really value even to this day, that when we come together, when we unite as one, that is when we are all at our best. Even if we don't agree with each other or see this from the same lens,
yeah.
If we can work together and lift one another up, that's going to put us on the best footing to move forward in life in general. And coincidentally, the title that I'm playing with for the finale is Lift.
I love that. You're like full circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a really important framing. I know that dancing can be, especially professional level, extremely competitive. And when you're competing, the inclination is to pull down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
but it doesn't need to be that 100%. It can be all support and lifting up, which is, you know, you see that in sports quite a bit, you know, especially around the Olympics, the support that other teams have for one another and within the team, all while it's under the guise of competition.
Yeah.
So it's definitely possible. And I think the best examples of healthy competition can be found in dance.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right. All the young dancers out there listening, you've heard it.
Get in here.
Michael, I know you also got started dancing at an early age. You were in Utah and Alaska.
Yeah.
Right? So tell me about your childhood moving around at home.
Well, it was a lot of moving around very young, and I started at the VFW Hall in Juneau, Alaska, doing tap and a little bit of ballet, performing for the cruise ships that would come into town.
Oh, yes.
Always loved that. My mother played the piano, so we performed a lot as a family, whether it was singing and then dancing, and then my sisters would grab me and we would do, you know, whether it was square dancing or social dance. And then it wasn't until I got into high school doing kind of musical theater and college that I really started getting serious about the ballet. So I had some really good teachers. I think that's when I really dug in and said, hey, I want to do this professionally.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. I'm so jealous. I mean, I'm like a creative person myself, but like my mama don't really identify as an artist. She is an artist, but she doesn't really identify as an artist. So I was like,
secret.
I was the little artist in the house, you know, and I'm like, I'm the only one, you know, so it's very, very fortunate that you all got to grow up with some creative folks.
For sure. And we're supported in our artistic endeavors.
Yeah, definitely. Jojo, I know that you also like are a rehearsal director, and I wonder how you came to focus so heavily on that vital time that dancers have to spend together and with themselves before the curtains open.
Wow. Yes. Process over product is a huge mantra of mine. I really do believe that how we come together and how we work is much more important than the work that we are actually doing because it infuses all of those sentiments into the work. Ultimately, the work is a result of, not only a result of how we got there, but it is the manifestation of how we got there. As you know, I also work for Hubbard Street Dance Chicago as their senior rehearsal director, and that is something that I impart on the dancers daily. It's about how you work. I also direct the summer intensives, which we are in the thick of right now. And the mantra and the tagline, actually, for the entire summer intensives, since I took direction of that, has been practice, process, people.
Mm.
You know, it is about your practices, it is about your process, and it is about cultivating a positive community of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Gems, giving me the chills. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I'm like, I'm just, we call ourselves squishy on this show a little bit. And I'm just like, it's feeding my squishy side. Working together to create something beautiful and meaningful, like a dance or a theater production, is one thing, right? It's a beautiful thing. But then doing it for this type of cause, right? Something you know that your work and your time and your energy is going toward something so great. It just adds another level of intention, maybe a little bit of magic. Michael, I wonder if you can talk about if it feels that way for you.
For sure. It did as a dancer and it does today, right? Mm-hmm. It's always so powerful for me to see these companies come together, the dancers donating their time, the companies donating their rehearsal time to give back. And it's about listening, right? And yes, that was the reason why we felt it was so important to do this health and wellness grant, because during the pandemic, a lot of dancers were out of work because there were no performances. They needed help to get to see a doctor, a dentist. And a lot of people don't realize that a lot of the dancers don't have health insurance, or at least not health insurance that is provided by their company. Mm-hmm. And so being able to offer them mental health or co-pays for their doctor visits or a lead for dental, all those things were really, really important to keep them healthy and active.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about what happens at Dance for Life. Like, what's on the program? What do people experience when they show up to this event every year?
It is different every year, which is great. Okay. And that's because there's different companies on the program every year.
Okay.
So there's a process, an application process that usually starts in February, and it's open to all companies across the Chicagoland area. They submit, they give their piece. So it always is kind of different. And it's so hard for those of us that serve on that committee, because we want to be inclusive and we want to represent, but it's, you can't have everybody. But
it'd be a long night of dance if they had everybody.
That's why I got to do 2-3 nights. You know what I'm saying?
So every year you'll see some repeats, right? People that have been in the past, but we always try to have new companies that maybe haven't had a chance to be on the Dance for Life stage or are up and coming. It's a whole bunch of different companies and styles and music, and it's just fun. And then the end is the finale.
Okay.
Which kind of brings it all together, brings it home.
All right, let's get into this finale. JoJo, you are choreographing the finale dance this year. You have inherited, in a way, this role from Randy Duncan. Mm-hmm. First of all, I just want to congratulate y'all. I know this is coming up next month. It's probably been hard work, a long time coming. So,
thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, thanks.
This is a world premiere of your choreography in this dance. What kind of experience are you hoping to create for people? No spoilers, but yeah.
It began with Randy approaching me and being like, we would love for you to do this. Immediately, the first thing that came into my mind, aside from immense gratefulness and respect, was, well, we've got to have original music.
Okay.
And immediately I said to Randy, because he's worked with, Iran Talis is a composer for this, and he's worked with him many times. I've been a part of many pieces where his music was used, and it's always been epic. Like, how does someone compose something so intricate and so poignant so quickly?
Yeah.
Not knowing what that process was between he and Randy. So I immediately asked Randy if he could put me in touch with Ira, because I would love to use his work. And the first thing that came into my mind in terms of music was, I would love to do something around Lift Every Voice and Sing, the poem that was initially written, not necessarily the song that came later, but the poem itself, because I've always been inspired by how that was written by an educator. Someone who, and for a group of youth to recite.
Wow.
And then later it was put to music, of course, when we know it now as the Black National Anthem. But for me, it was the education piece and the connection to youth that has really resonated with me over the years for this. And so I said that to Ira, that this is where I'd like to go with it. And literally, I would say not even a week went by, and he had a full mock-up of an entire song for me, including vocals. I mean, and I was floored. I was literally a puddle on the floor listening to it because it was perfect. And we are now 20 versions in. By no means is it the song Lift Every Voice and Sing, though that first, those first three lines or first few lines are in the song.
Okay.
And then it skyrockets into many universes and many different places. So I'm very much excited about that.
Wow.
I'm inspired by change that we have to all have to go through in order to move forward in life. And that is a part of the creative process. I love that artists are constantly changing. We create something, we throw it out. That happens about 100 times an hour in the studio when we're in process. So our relationship with change is something that's always inspired me. So the winds of change is what I'll say has been a big inspiration for my work. And incorporating many different cultural dances. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
But there will
That's
be
plenty.
A little bit of jazz, a little bit of ballet, a little bit of modern, and many other things incorporated. A whole lot of JoJo. For sure. I want the work to be a celebration of the beautiful, loving, and diverse community that we have here in Chicago around dance. You know, there are many, many dance communities here, and I want to celebrate that.
Jonathan JoJo Alsbury is a dancer, choreographer, rehearsal director, and educator. He's been dancing with Dance for Life events for several years and is now choreographing a world premiere as this year's finale. JoJo, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And Michael Anderson was one of the creators of the organization that is now Chicago Dance Health Fund, where he's currently the vice president of the board of directors. Michael, thank you.
Thank you, Erin.
Dance for Life is Saturday, August 10th. You can find more information at cdhf.org. And that's it for today. Justin Bull and I produced The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve is our editor and executive producer. Haley Bloomquist was our engineer for this episode. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening to the show. I'll talk to you on Friday.